All right, turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Romans chapter 3 for our thoughts this morning. Romans chapter 3. How many of you like the book of Romans?
Amen.
There's some good stuff in the book of Romans, isn't there? Y'all stand when you get there. You're what? Romans chapter 3, let's begin with verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, this opportunity to stand before your people. Pray you forgive me of my sins, shortcomings, remove anything that would hinder me being able to be used of you, Lord, the vessel for your honor. Pray you'd give me the words to say that I might preach with boldness and authority. Pray that ears, hearts, minds will be open to receive your word. May your Holy Spirit deal with us this morning. Deal with our hearts and our lives. Draw us closer to you. Above all, Lord, if there's one that knows not Christ and the free pardon of sin, our prayer is that they'll be saved before it's everlasting too late. Bless the service. Again, Lord, we want to worship you today in spirit and in truth. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Chapter 3 is a continuance of chapter 2 where Paul is dealing with the Jews. And chapter 2, Paul is bringing to the attention of the Jews that, yes, even though they're circumcised, even though they've been given the Word of God, and even though they're teaching the law, the Word of God, that those things aren't good enough to save you. You see, it takes the blood of Christ to save anyone. Amen? Now understand that the Apostle Paul was an evangelist and a missionary. And every time Paul went to a city, you would find him in the synagogue preaching that Jesus Christ and him alone is the only way for salvation and entrance into heaven. And naturally, when he was dealing with the Jews, even though there was Gentiles, that was his main ministry, but when he was dealing with those Jews, they would naturally come up against him and object because they, after all, thought they had a special relationship with God. And by the way, they did have a special relationship with God. They were the chosen ones. But because of their disobedience, and because they rejected Jesus Christ as Messiah, doesn't mean that God's done with them then or now. But because of that, he had to show them that, hey, they have to be saved like everybody else because religion is not what gets a person to heaven. Amen? Boy, there's a lot of folks out there that believe religion gets you to heaven. Listen, it's won't get you there. So that's what I want to speak to you about. Notice verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Again, we know that religion doesn't get us there. And that's what he taught them in the closing verses of chapter 2. And now we're at 3. What profit does it do? Well, again, yes, they were chosen of God. Yes, they were the people of God. But they were depending on that relationship of God choosing them, that that was good enough to get them to heaven. There's a lot of people in the Baptist church today that believe because they attend services, because they pay their tithes and offerings, because they try to lead a goodly, godly life, that that's good enough, that's going to get them to heaven. Beloved, listen, being religious will send you to hell. Amen? There's a lot of religious people out there. Believe it or not, your pastor don't have a religious bone in his body. I'm not religious at all. I have a personal relationship with the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what's going to get me to heaven. That's what's going to get you to heaven. It's not because I'm Baptist. It's not because I preach the gospel. It's not because I'm good, because the Word of God makes it very clear there's none good. No, not a single one. No. Being religious isn't going to get you there. And the Jews were hoping that was good enough because God chose them. But understand, when you study out and research, the Jews, even though they were chosen of God, they sure didn't act like it. And even though they were still the apple of His eyes, and let me just clarify something so you don't misunderstand. Yes, He chose them. And yes, He loves them. And yes, even though they forsook Him, rejected the Messiah, He still loves them. He still has a plan for them. And He will accomplish His will and His purpose with them. Amen? But they have to be saved just like me and you. They're not a better class. Because, can I tell you something? I know we love this high class, middle class, low class. You know, with God, everybody's in the same class. Because we're all lost and undone. Without Jesus, we're all sinners. And in order to go to heaven, we got to trust Him. Now, this is what they were depending on. Notice what it says. Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now, understand, were they a blessed people? Yes, because God gave them the Word to reveal to them who He was and what His plan was for them. They received the oracles of God, the law of God. But beloved, here's the problem. Even though He gave them the law, the Word of God, they didn't use that like they were supposed to. But before you and I throw rocks at them, what about us? You see, let's look at an illustration. Suppose there was an island. I'm talking about the Jews. There was an island and it was surrounded by nothing but darkness. And on this island were two groups of people. And the only way off that island would be through just a little narrow bridge. But one group of the people were given a pen light that would only shine through the darkness maybe a foot. But then the other group was given a searchlight. And this searchlight was so strong that it would expel the darkness. And what God expected the Jews to do with that light, the Bible, the law, what He expected them to do is find the way off the island, but also go back to that other group and help get them off the island. But instead of doing that, they were too busy trying to find a needle in a haystack. And what I mean by that is this. They always were debating about the law. And sometimes that debating gets you in trouble. But they would debate about silly things like this, nonsense. On the Sabbath day, is it lawful to spit? Well, if you spit on a rock, you're good. But listen, If your spittle lands on the ground, you've made mud, you've broken the law. Isn't that a little ridiculous? Instead of being concerned about getting people off that desolate island, lost and undone, they're arguing amongst themselves. And that's what they were guilty of. And beloved, you and I have also been given the Word of God. And we also have a responsibility to get the gospel to those people that are stuck on that beam in the darkness. You see, we have the light, and we're to share that light. But understand, just as the Jew, we also have a responsibility. And because much light has been shared with us, we're accountable to God for that light. And we tend to forget and we neglect, for there are people lost and dying and going to hell. We have the truth here. Brother Bill said it right. Listen, we are a Bible-believing, Bible-practicing, Bible-preaching church here at Lone Mountain. But listen to me. There's a lot of churches that aren't going to share that light. Amen? And I'll go ahead and say it. Those people in those churches, listen to what I'm fixing to say, are better off in them churches. You know why? Because where more truth and light is shared, there's more responsibility and accountability. Amen? So, if you're here at Lone Mountain, I feel sorry for you because you get the truth, you get the light every time the doors are open. In Sunday school, in preaching, you get the light. But you're going to be held more accountable than that bunch down the street. Amen? That's a fact. And that's what Paul is addressing here with the Jews. They were given the oracles of God, but they didn't use them like they should. You realize, had the Jews just been obedient and done what God told them to do, you and I would really be in trouble. We're old sorry Gentiles. Amen? The Jews would have went out and got other Jews saved, recognizing the Messiah, and then they went out and they got other Jews saved. They would have had it made. Again, I'm just thankful that God's always forgiven. I'm thankful that He doesn't throw the clay away. Had He been one to just, "Hup, you're marred, you messed up, gone," I would not be standing before you this morning. And most of you wouldn't be sitting in these pews. Amen? Because God doesn't throw the clay away. Now, notice what it says. Much every way, chiefly because under them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Talking about responsibility now. Notice what he says. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? What if they came, Paul's just delivered the gospel, now they got some objections to what he said, and they demanding answers. What if they came up to Paul and said, "Well, let me ask you a question. So what you're preaching is, okay, Jesus is the only means of salvation, but say we're the chosen of God, and say some of us didn't sin, but there's other groups that sinned all the time. So why should we continue to serve God if it's going to make it null in effect for all of us because of just a few that wouldn't believe?" So, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this. You see, there's an attitude out there that's this. Well, what's the use in serving God if I cannot just keep serving the Lord without sinning. But I sin all the time, so what's the use if God's not going to forgive me? Well, let me ask you a question. Does God forgive when we ask Him to forgive? Always, right? And you see, the devil tried to convince the Jews that, well, they've finally crossed the line. God's written them off. You see, because of their sin, God's just done. I want you to understand. Now, God is a holy God. He's a righteous God. And He judges sin. But after sin is judged, He forgives and provides mercy. You see, God doesn't break a promise. He said that he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise, under no circumstance, cast you away. So if we ask for forgiveness, He's going to forgive us. And the reason you don't have to worry about someone else answering for your sin is because it's an individual thing. If I was to ask every one of you this morning, you know you're saved, ever since you've been saved, let me put it this way. Ever since you've been saved, you've ever sinned. All of us would have to throw our hands up. Probably multiple times. Amen? I don't know about you. I guess I've got it really bad because I fail the Lord every single day. I'd be walking around with my hands up in the air constantly. Guilty. That's it. We're all guilty. And I think Paul handled that also in the book of Romans. When he declared that we're all guilty before God. My point is this. We're sinners. God knows it. But God also is going to keep His covenant. You see, Israel broke their covenant many times with the Father. But do you know God never broke His covenant once? Because He's faithful. And even though we fail, He can't go against His covenant. Once He promises something, He has to keep that promise. I am so thankful. And I don't say that braggadociously. God, you're on the mark. Mark, you have to. You have to. He's God. He could do whatever He wanted to. But because of who He is, He's going to keep His covenant. That's why I don't go along with what some folks say about losing salvation. It can't be done. It's even in the Old Testament. Amen. There's several passages, but I was looking at Psalm 51 just a few minutes ago while they were singing. That's in the Old Testament. God forgave David even though he was a liar, an adulterer, a murderer. God forgave him. And used him. Rahab was a harlot. I don't have to tell you what a harlot is. He forgave her and used her in a mighty way. Simon Peter looked him in the eyes and denied him three times. Any time God would have wanted to have just said, I'm done with you, Peter. He could have, but He didn't. He forgave him. What I'm trying to get across is the Jews were thinking, well, if some have sinned away and broken the covenant, what's the use in us in even serving God? And there's a lot of people out there today that have that attitude. I can't keep it. I can't. You're right. You can't. The problem is you think you have the strength and the power to overcome in your own ability. It don't work that way. It has to be by relying on the power and strength of God. And let me throw this in. God equips us to where we don't have to live in sin any longer. He gives us the power and the strength to overcome it. Yes, temptations come to all of us, but He makes a way of escape. He gives us strength to say no. No. You say, well, how do I get it? I tell the Lord every day. So do I, but I'll tell you what I do. The devil comes knocking. I pray. I quote Scripture. That's what I do. Do I still fail the Lord? Oh, yeah. But it wasn't because He didn't equip me. It's because I gave in to my desire. Amen. I gave in. It wasn't on God's part. It was me. And it's you. Notice, real quick. Notice what he says. God forbid, let God be true and every man a liar. You realize how strong that is? Let God be true and every man a liar. What he's talking about, by all means, don't let that ever cross our minds. Listen, God is always true. We can always count on God. That's what he's talking about. And yeah, men will lie, won't they? Notice, but every man is a liar, as is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Let's talk about sin since we're on the subject. You see, Jews considered, well, if it's a done deal, some of them have broken it, and we might as well just stop serving God because God's not going to keep his covenant. Well, we know that's a lie, right? But then they get to the nitty gritty of talking about sin. Well, if I can't control my sin, what's the use? Well, I'm here to tell you, you and I can't control. It's impossible to control it in our power. But it's God who can and will. Amen. And notice, real quick, just notice what it says. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as is written, thou that mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. What's he talking about there? Well, we know God judges sin. He has to because he's holy and he's righteous. But listen to me. Even though he judges sin, he still is faithful to us even when we sin. Now that blows my mind. But that's who God is as part of his character. He's still faithful. Now, I want you to understand something about sin and why God judges it. Because Jesus came into the world and died on the cross. And if you've had sense, and I notice I said if you've had sense, and I've had sense, I include myself, if you've had sense to call upon the name of the Lord and ask him to forgive you and come into your heart and save you, then your sin and my sin has already been judged on the cross. Taken care of. You see, my sins, your sins, the sins of the whole world were placed upon our Savior when he was on the cross. And God judged those sins. And after Christ died, was buried, and rose again, and in fact, he went up to offer the offering, the blood testament, New Testament, upon the mercy seat in heaven. God accepted that as payment in full. God said, that's enough. Jesus is never going to have to die for another sin. He's never, ever going to be put on a cross again. Lots of people go to a Catholic hospital, you see Jesus on a crucifix, he ain't on that cross. Amen. He's not on that cross. That cross has been empty for over 2,000 years because when he died, he finished it once and for all. Understand this morning. Because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, God is faithful to forgive us of our sins. But he's got to judge our sins. See, we like to leave that part out. But God must judge our sins. And the Bible says in Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But He's got to judge sin. But after He judges sin, we are, based on what Jesus did on the cross, we are declared righteous in His eyes. And those sins are never going to be brought up again. Now, He died for our past sins, our present sins, and even those future sins. But based upon what He did for us, we're declared righteous. The Jews were questioning Paul about that. That's what he's talking about there. Well, is God going to judge us? Yeah, He is. Because He's God, He has to. And they were saying, well, if all we as a people have sinned, what's the use? What's the use if we can't keep it? That's the whole point, y'all. That's what Paul was trying to get across to them when he would run across to them in the synagogue. Guys, you're basing your relationship with God and going to heaven based upon this, that, and this, and that, what you do and what you don't do. Those things aren't going to get you there. You must accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was new to them. So I guarantee you there were some objections. And that's a sad state. When you have the truth, you got the searchlight, and you can dispel all the darkness there is, and yet they don't want to follow the searchlight. They want to follow that little pin light that doesn't even dare break into the darkness. Isn't that a shame? Look at this. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? Now, notice, but if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. If our unrighteousness commends the righteousness of God. Here's another argument I believe they were trying to make. And that's this. Well, Paul, since David sinned a great sin and God forgave him and God got the glory, then wouldn't it benefit us to all sin the more so God gets the more glory? That's what they're saying. I'll get in trouble. That's stupid. Because what they're trying to do is say this: God gets the glory when we sin. No, He has nothing to do with sin. He hates sin. And God doesn't want you and me sinning over and over and over thinking, oh, He's getting the glory for it. He's benefiting for it. No, He's not benefiting for it at all. And by the way, neither are we. Because whom He loves, He's going to judge. Amen. We might hide it. He knows where we're at. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our lives. And sooner or later, you're going to pay the bill. Amen? It just happens that, yes, God forgives and it shows who He is. He's merciful. Oh, I'm so thankful for the mercy of God. I'm so thankful for the grace of God. But listen, we have to understand that it doesn't bring grace to Him when we are left to to ourselves to sin and do as we want. In fact, that's the philosophy that the world has. There's some folks that just don't get it. They walk the aisle, they make a profession of faith, they say they're saved. And only God knows that, and I'm not judging because I can't read your heart. I don't know what's in your heart. I don't know your motive. And I would never point my finger at you because there'd be three pointing back at me. But listen to me. They walk the aisle, they make a profession of faith, and then one day they live for the Lord, next day they're back in the world sinning. One day they live for the Lord, the next day they're back in the world sinning. And they do that time after time after time. And then eventually, great revelation, oh, God's got my attention, which if you're a child of God, He will get your attention. You're out there doing what you're not supposed to. They come and they make this silly statement. You know, I'm kind of glad I kind of wandered off in sin, but God brought me back. And I'm so thankful. You know, I might not have come back. Wouldn't that I got out there to begin with. Isn't that silly? But that's the attitude of a lot of people. Can I tell you how you bring glory to God? You give your heart to Jesus Christ, and then you live for God from the moment you trusted Him as your Savior till He called you home. That's how God gets the glory. That's how He's glorified. Listen, me committing sin does not glorify God. It's just the opposite. No. You got sin in your life, you get it taken care of. The glory for God is when He forgives us as sinners. That's His glory. And we share with others, yes, this is what I did, but He loved me and He offered mercy and grace and He has forgiven me and wiped my slate clean. Now He's glorified. That's what He's talking about. Look at the next verse. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto His glory, yet why am I also judged as a sinner? Think about that. Look at the question. If I can live like I want to, when I want to, how I want to, then why would God judge me? If sin is what glorifies God, His forgiveness, let me continue to stay out in the world and do what I want to. Nope, can't do that because God is holy and is righteous and He's not going to let us do that because He loves us too much. You see, He wants us to be mindful that sin hurts Him and His glory, and it also hurts His kingdom. Sin also hurts us more than what we'll ever think about as far as the consequences. And number three, what about those people around us that watch us? You ever thought about that? You see, how's God going to receive any glory if that neighbor has watched you time and time again and died and he went to hell? How's he going to get any glory from that? He's not. What about your young children that watch you? One foot in the Lord's house, next foot in the world. You understand those children you're raising are watching every step you take. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to grow up and be just like you. How's God going to get any glory from that if they are just like you in your walk? You see what I'm saying? Again, Paul's trying to get the Jews to wake up because it's not about religion. It's about a true relationship with Jesus Christ. And everybody you talk to nowadays has an answer. But the majority of those answers ain't the truth. And what they're spilling and what they're coming back with is what they've been taught at a church that isn't teaching and preaching the truth. they're believing a lie. And they're sharing that same lie over and over again. Don't think the devil don't know what he's doing? Look at verse 8. And not rather as we be slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come. Notice the last few words of that passage. Whose damnation is just? You see, beloved, there's coming a day where the Lord's going to judge. He's going to judge the whole world. He's going to judge me. He's going to judge you. And you understand that unless we receive Jesus as our own personal Savior, then we're going to die and go to hell. He's talking about damnation. That's totally rejecting Christ and the gospel, spending eternity separated from Him in a place called hell. That's what awaits those that don't accept the truth, the gospel. So, read it in 1 Corinthians 15. First four verses. His death, His burial, His resurrection. That's the gospel. And that's the truth. I said it a moment ago. I'll say it one more time and I'll hush. It would be better for you to be in a unscriptural church where the Word of God is not preached and taught when you die and go to hell, than for you to be in one where the Word of God is preached and taught, because it's going to be a little hotter in hell for you if you belong to a Bible-believing, Bible-practicing church. But listen to me. You don't have to go to hell. You can call upon the Lord right here and right now. Maybe there is sin in your life. Tired of dealing with it? You tired of it? Then come and confess it before the Lord. By the way, when He tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word confess, do you know what that word confess implies and means? It means we agree with what God says about our sin. That's what it means. We agree. What does God say about our sin? It has separated us from God. What does God say about our sin? That it brings death. What does God say about our sin? Except we repent, we're going to perish. And we agree. But He also says, if you'll come and confess those sins, repent, I will cleanse you, you'll be forgiven. So, if you're under the sound of my voice this morning, there's sin in your life, come get it dealt with. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been relying on being a Baptist, getting to church. Getting you to heaven, I mean. Listen, being Baptist won't get you to heaven. Being good won't get you to heaven. Being baptized won't get you to heaven. It's the blood of Jesus that gets us to heaven. Don't rely on religion, because people will go to hell. You can be as religious as they come. Pious, everybody just, oh, he's so religious. Oh, let me just follow his shadow. Oh, maybe it'll fall off on me. I'll rub some on me and I'll be all right with God. Hooey, fooey. That stuff won't get you to heaven. Being religious does the opposite. It sends you to hell. Now listen to me. You will become a new creature if you ever make a true profession of faith in Jesus. You'll be forgiven. And you'll be changed. But you'll know it wasn't because you did anything. It was because Jesus did all of it 2,000 years ago on a hill called Golgotha when He died for us. So if there's sin in your life, deal with it. You need the Savior. Come on. Open your heart. He wants to save you. He is the way and the truth and the life. Stand with me, please.